I'm Tony Hendro.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth. Burmese legend Aung San Suu Kyi's visit to Oslo last week and her inspiring acceptance speech hardened the resolve of the Nobel Peace Prize Committee regarding a thorny issue: getting President Obama to return his Nobel Peace Prize. Stone Peck has the story.
Committee Chairman Thorbjørn Jagland addressed an overflow press conference this morning here in Oslo, and he was steamed.
Now we've met a real non-violent pacifist type person, we realize what a phony baloney Obama is. After Aung San Suu Kyi's beautiful, beautiful speech, our faces are totally covered with egg.
Last year, the Final Edition reported that in the wake of the bombing of Libya, the assassination of Osama bin Laden, Guantanamo remaining open, and the reduced drawdown in Afghanistan, the committee had asked the president to consider returning his peace prize. Chairman Jagland:
we asked the president really nicely if he wouldn't mind sending back his peace prize, including the really expensive case it came in. But we said, you know, when he had time, because we know he's busy and basically we still really like him. Right, Jagborn?
Committee Vice Chairman Jagbjørn Thorland:
Yeah, we even said he could send it back in a brown paper package by regular mail, so nobody would have to know and he wouldn't have a red face. But we heard nothing from the White House for months, so our Bjornland here came up with a different tack.
Committee Secretary Bjornland Thorjag:
we said as long as we got his medal back, he could keep the really expensive box. We even offered him a consolation Nobel Peace Prize.
How could anyone turn down that deal?
Question, Mr. Chairman, what was the White House's response?
Well, this time we heard through backdoor diplomatic channels that the White House knew Norway had a real problem with right-wing extremists, and perhaps the U.S. could help with drone attacks on the fjords and on the suburbs of Oslo, where they might be hiding out.
What was the problem with that? It might save some innocent lives, no?
Oh, nay, we got the message. You see, every member of the committee lives either in an Oslo suburb or a fjord.
So after that, we bit our tongues about the bomb in Yemen, and when he took out the cleric, his own countrymen. And when we heard about the kill list, we just about bit them off. It's like Bush said, America is slow to anger, but homicidal when aroused.
Actually, Mr. Secretary, that quote is President Reagan's, and the end of it is, but there is a limit.
Whatever.
The point is, now we have been so moved by this prisoner of conscience, we have had enough with Obama.
Yeah, we say to President Obama, we don't care about the money. We don't care about the really expensive box. We just want the damn medal back.
From Washington, White House spokesman Jay Carney:
the president's position is this. He doesn't remember winning the Nobel Peace Prize. But if he did, he has no idea where he put it.
Welcome to Let's Guess, the news show where we read the same newspaper headline you do, and then guess what's going on. Our panelists today are retired newspaper editor Lawrence Radovich.
Hi there.
The Final Edition staff psychologist Andy Spelling.
It's good to be here.
And a blogger, whose name is unimportant.
Thanks, Tony. Love the show.
So, yesterday, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton met with European leaders in Brussels. We don't know what they talked about or if they accomplished anything, so let's guess. Lawrence Radovich?
I assume they probably talked about the euro, the Greek bailouts, of course, and if I had to speculate beyond that...
Well, please do.
Hillary Clinton probably held all the leaders of Europe at knife point.
Excellent. And what are her demands, blogger?
Well, of course, we have no reason to think Hillary Clinton really is holding European leaders hostage, but if you just want me to make something up...
That's why we're here.
Well, I would say she's demanding something irrational. She's screaming about melted tires. Maybe she's demanding vacuum tubes for some kind of mad invention, I suppose.
Or a rare element with which she can take over the North American continent.
And maybe the element is named after Hitler.
Interesting. So let's turn to our psychologist, Andy Spelling. Assuming Hillary Clinton is holding Europe hostage, demanding 17 metric tons of rare Hitlernium, what exactly is she thinking about?
She must have post-traumatic stress syndrome, an inner ear imbalance, insatiable hunger for dog flesh.
I think that explains a lot today.
And she can't be around magnets.
Blogger, any further thoughts?
Oh, it's also possible Hillary Clinton is conducting some sort of competitive eating event, a dog-eating contest.
At knife point.
I want to thank my guest for helping us figure things out here on Let's Guess.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
God finds cure to man.
CIA redacts entire United States Constitution.
Republicans in Congress want food stamp recipients to walk through Gaydar detector.
It's time for the final edition Radio Hour's finance feature, Money or Die. This week, toys for Titans. Remember the old 80s bumper sticker, the guy who dies with the most toys wins? That's crap. Guys who die are losers. The guy who lives with the most toys wins. With the economy constantly teetering on the edge, now is the time to spend even more on the things you love. Our nation needs you to stand up and let the trickle down flow. Do your patriotic duty. Live the life you deserve. Here are a few multi-million-dollar toys you should be toying with.
The Bradley Fighting Limo.
The Bradley fighting vehicle was a bust on the battlefield, but now BAE Systems has redeemed itself by repurposing the battlefield lemon as the irresistibly macho Bradley fighting limo. Never get stuck in traffic again! Comes with twin 7.6mm coaxial-mounted machine guns, dry bar, 42-inch plasma TV, and full-time ex-Blackwater driver with his tongue cut out.
Offshore funds at home.
Still schlepping to that mosquito-ridden offshore island where you stashed your tax-free billion-dollar nest egg? Forget about it! Make the island come to you. A little-known IRS codicil, applying only to those earning $100 million per annum and up, allows you to purchase a minimum of 9 cubic yards of any established offshore island, like Grand Cayman or Bermuda. Just transport the whole 9 yards to one of your onshore homes, and anything you keep on or in it, hello home safe, is officially exempt from U.S. taxes.
The Very Last Supper by Endangered Dining.
Be the last person on earth to feast on roast spoonbill crammed to the craw with Siberian tiger stuffing. Start off with snail darter ceviche or smoked blue whale pate. Endangered Dining will make it happen. These treats all taste shitty or bland as sand, but who cares? The thrill is knowing that the second you chow down, the species you're eating becomes extinct. Endangered Dining can arrange for you to gun down your dinner on your own estate or strangle rare birds in front of your guests and toss them nonchalantly to your chef.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Class! All right, welcome to MESL, Michigan English as a Second Language. As you know, all the residents of Michigan have to take this class because the Speaker of the State House of Representatives, Jace Bolger, has decreed that vagina is no longer an acceptable term to describe that portion of the female anatomy.
What portion is that?
The vagina portion.
How much of the vagina constitutes a portion?
Half?
Three quarters.
Well, doesn't it depend on the vagina?
Class! This is repression, not the metric system. Anyway, the speaker banned Representative Lisa Brown from speaking on the floor of the House because she said she didn't want government in her vagina.
Excuse me, I have a question.
Yes.
How much government does the speaker want in her vagina?
Could you tell us the Michigan government to vagina ratio?
If they want smaller government, don't they want smaller vaginas?
Class, class, this is MESL, not OBGYN. All you need to know is you can no longer say vagina in the state of Michigan.
No more vagina. What can we say?
I'm glad you asked. You can say euphemisms, or what are being called vaginal alternatives. I have some new ones I'd like to share. Instead of vagina, please say gaping legislative chamber.
Gaping legislative chamber.
Constitutional hole.
Constitutional hole.
Red state.
Red state.
Silenced clam.
Silence of the clams.
Michigash.
Michigash.
Republicunt.
Republicunt.
Geo-pussy.
Geo-pussy.
Clit Tea Party.
Clit Tea Party.
And my personal favorite, George W. Bush.
This has been a public service announcement by the Greater Michigan Council for Labial Literacy.
I came back in your life uninvited, cause I found your Flickr page. I got excited and I Facebook friend your kids, cause I implied it that I knew their father. Never mind, I'll find more about you. Keep on posting everything that you do.
According to many conservative Christians, the Bible has been terribly distorted by its recent translations. The literal Word of God has been corrupted into the liberal Word of God. The son of celebrated Catholic anti-feminist and homophobe Phyllis Schlafly, Andrew Schlafly, who happens to be lead attorney in the attack on the Affordable Health Care Act, decided to do something about it. His aim? To snatch back the good book from those who would spend their worthless lives feeding the hungry, paying laborers a fair wage, and healing the sick without bankrupting them. You know, stuff Christ might have done. Andy and his righty buddies have now completed their version of the Bible, stripped of its socialistical and radical lib pollutants, and returned to the pristine state God, the patriarch creator of the unregulated universe, intended. The final edition has gotten hold of a copy of the Conserva Bible. And now, the next chapter. Not of the Book of Genesis, of course, with its liberal overtones of rock and birth canals, but of the Book of Creation.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all in 5 days, and all less than 6,000 years ago. And if thou believest it not, in a sling shalt thou find thy hindermost quarters. And God took the dust of the ground, and the scum of the earth, and made a marketplace eastward of Eden, in which the man was free to play. And this was the free play of the marketplace. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow 4 trees, the tree of life, and the liberty tree, and the pursuit of happiness tree, and the tree of the knowledge of sex. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, This is my law, which is the law of supply and demand. Investeth thou in the trees of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and thou shalt make for thyself a bundle. For what fruit thou eatest not, that thou mayest sell, and with the seeds thereof expand thy operations. But the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of sex thou mayest not eat, nor mayest thou invest therein, nor profit thereby, for that is a mighty waste of seed. And the man was exceedingly glad. But he asked the Lord God, Who then shall labor in this marketplace? For am I not management, being tall and well-formed and pale of hue? And the Lord God said unto himself, Verily, this kid hath the potential which is executive. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to labor for him. And they labored for peanuts. Then Adam was again exceedingly glad. But he spake once more unto the Lord God, saying, Lo, I am free to play in the marketplace of the Lord, and have cheap labor in plenty. But to whom shall I sell my surplus fruit, and realize a bundle thereby? And the Lord God said unto himself, Verily, this is a live one. And he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took from him one of his ribs, which was a spare rib. And from the spare rib the Lord God had taken from the man, made he woman, and named her Eve. And he brought Eve unto the man, saying, This is woman, and she shall purchase your fruit, and ye shall realize a bundle thereby. For man produceth, and woman consumeth, wherefore she shall be called the consumer. And they were both decently clad, the man and the woman, from the neck even unto the ankles, so they were not ashamed.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Somali pirates win African World Series.
Copy editor with amnesia, something 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 deadline.
Couples' custom wedding vows make unsettlingly frequent use of the word crawlspace.
This is Tony Hendra. You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. Visit thefinaledition.com every day for more sizzling satire with teeth.
Shower and come over here. I got something to say before the game.
Okay, Coach.
Why, shut up, Chico.
Yeah.
Okay, now, you guys. We ain't had a serious talk since the beginning of the season, but I think it's... All right, look, I think it's time we had one now.
Right, Coach.
Well, shut up. I got something to say. Okay, now, some of this may sound stupid to some of you guys, but I want you to hear me out. Now, look, you know, different people think about life in different ways. Lawyers think life is a big courtroom. Doctors probably think life is like a big operation. Bus drivers think life is a big bus, I guess. Who knows what the hell those guys think.
You're right, Coach.
Yeah. Anyway, I always thought of life as a big football game.
So what's the point, Coach?
Yeah.
The point is this, Schnabel. There are winners and losers in the game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
God damn it, I asked you to listen, and by God, you're going to listen to what I got to say. Now, that's right. Winners and losers. But there's some guys who don't even get to finish the game. Maybe the coach takes them out, or maybe they injured. They don't even stay in the game long enough to feel like they won or lost.
Now, come on, what you talking about, Coach?
I'm talking about this, Stretch. There's a big coach somewhere in the universe, and he's about to cut the team.
What? What do you mean? What are you talking about?
I mean, Stefanski. You got leukoplakia.
What's that?
It's a rare form of lung cancer.
Leukoplakia.
The doc says you might not last this season.
Oh, breaks.
Yeah.
Sorry, really.
Oh, I suppose that one of us ought to say something, Coach, and as defensive captain.
Wait, that's not all. Luciano has Huntington's chorea.
What?
They're taking you to the hospital at halftime, Lucky.
No.
Hey, I'm sorry.
Coach, listen, I'd like
Hold
to
it,
say...
there's more.
More,
Schaefer and Collins, you two have sickle cell anemia, highly advanced.
What? I don't want to die.
I want those cells.
I want to play pro ball.
Townsend, Carlson, and McNulty, spinal meningitis. Harrison, Hawkins, and Sanchez, nephrosis. Hooker, Perez, Cavello, Pickett, and Friedman, you got encephalitis. Murray, Baluzzi, Boyle, Ryan, O'Flaherty, muscular dystrophy.
Now it's time for more Toys for Titans. We all know the boredom and emptiness that comes a few moments after purchasing a 25-meter yacht or a Fabergé egg omelet. In order to maintain your buzz, you have to keep spending, keep taking risks. You could rock climb or hang glide or club baby seals, but why go through that effort
when the Final Edition Radio Hour's Toys for Titans gives you great self-gifting ideas every single week. Here's a few more multi-million dollar toys you should be toying with.
Go on, take it with you.
Screw the kids, screw the grandkids, screw the whole blood-sucking raft of relatives. All they do for you now is come round at Thanksgiving and pray you go face down in the mashed potatoes so they can get their hooks on the ski lodge in Gstaad. Once the end is verifiably nigh, Final Wish will vaporize every one of your assets without leaving a cent behind for probate, family members, trusts, or bleeding heart loser charities. As the big one looms, they painlessly fill your body cavities with a warm, comforting pulp of remaining items of value. Gems, old masters, negotiable financial instruments, or they'll blend it into their famous last swill and testament. A delicious smoothie you can sip while the vultures round the bed wonder where the fuck you've stashed your vast wealth.
The Roomba Day Trader.
Sick and tired of clicking on stupid boxes on a stupid screen just to make another stupid 100 million bucks? Of course you are! Let the Roomba TT-1000 do it for you. It can go short, go long, hack into inside information, spread untraceable false rumors, anything a great trader does, but 24/7, 365 in every stock exchange on the planet. You have total legal immunity because it's not you. Plus, it keeps your desk spotless.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Drone kills Al-Qaeda leader after connecting in Atlanta.
Black child goes missing. White child goes missing.
Flesh-eating virus that attacked Rush Limbaugh develops diabetes.
Watch out, PETA. Here comes Mita. Steak sauce and whiskey flowed like water in Dallas's Morton Steakhouse last week to celebrate the founding of the first grassroots carnivorist organization in U.S. history. META, Men for the Edible Treatment of Animals. Stone Peck has the story.
Men for the Edible Treatment of Animals is the brainchild of a gang of fur-clad young Texans who, for security reasons, only use their first names. Guys, introduce yourselves to our listeners.
Al.
Cal.
Dale.
Kent.
Bo.
Bull.
Cal.
Butte.
Bob.
Lim.
Kit.
And I'm T-Bone, president of META.
Yeah! T-Bone, explain how META came about.
Well, carnivorism is on the march in Texas.
Yeah.
The relentless rise of jackbooted vegetarianism and the deafening whine of goose-stepping animal rightists is finally causing an equal and opposite reaction. This here's our manifesto. One. We promote the hallowed American tradition of killing and eating four-legged animals with mothers and faces.
Yes, sir!
Two, we friggin' hate militant veggie cucumber humpers and animal rights pussies. Three, we friggin' hate the mushy, slushy, granola-munching jerks in the veggie propaganda duped media. Four, we friggin' love cooking, ripping, tearing, slicing, chewing 33 times and swallowing meat in all its glory. And the rarer the better.
Bring on the meat!
Undercover carnivores have been making things hot for the veggie left with clandestine ops like spraying spinach fields with E. coli and public acts of resistance like throwing gravy on naked PETA demonstrators. President T-Bone says it's time to ramp up.
With our fleet of converted fire trucks, META can now spread mayhem wherever the enemy swarms, like anti-hunting rallies and veggie-dense green markets. Okay, boys. Let her rip.
Oh, my God. It's not water. It's chicken bouillon.
T-Bone, isn't chicken bouillon pretty tame stuff by Mita standards?
Red Eye Gravy clogs the pumps. Works though, don't it? Look at them cucumber humpers run.
But Mita has longer range goals. Mita's Minister of Information, Butte.
We gotta change the narrative. PETA peddles this crap that vegetarianism has been essential to human survival. Pardon my French, that's bull balls. Meat has fueled Homo sapiens success since day one. Meat equals bigger brains. Meat equals fire, beer, and ultimately the Porsche Carrera GT. Our species eats all other species. End of story.
In the few weeks of its existence, Mita has spread like kudzu. And like any militant organization, Mita already has rival camps. T-Bone explains.
We hardliners look down on the omnis, stupid omnivores, granola-munching pussy compromisers. But we hardliners have split too. There's meatitarians who only eat meat-bearing animals. Then there's hardline folks who only eat their young. They're called vegans.
Here in the Bible Belt, Mita also has religious overtones. At their apocryphal first meeting in Dallas's Morton Steakhouse, Mita chaplain Kale preached to the converted.
Brothers, meat is God's greatest gift to man.
Amen.
Proof! When Jesus took bread and wine at the Last Supper, he didn't change them into soy burgers and a wheatgrass smoothie.
Amen.
He changed them into his flesh and blood.
Finally, PETA had better watch out. There's one secret cell in Mita with a very carnivorous mission. Actually, it's not that secret. It's
Kent.
Bo.
Bob.
Bam.
Bam. Fill us in on your mission.
These animal rightists better know how crazy we meat eaters can get. We'll eat anything with a face and a mother. Now, vegans are just walking bags of meat, right? Grain-fed, organic, antibiotic-free. Catch my drift?
I think I do, but I don't think I want to. What's the name of your fairly secret cell?
The PETA Eaters!
The Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Ann Tuchel, Barry Lang, Kevin Janis, John Marshall, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by John Marshall, Barry Lank, Nick Carefoot, Matthew Brian Cohen, Paul Seaburn, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. Be sure to visit thefinaledition.com often for daily doses. Notice doses is plural, meaning you'll visit more than once a day, of sizzling satire with teeth. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC, copyright 2012.